Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced, and you are listening to Web Dev 101. And my name is Alex. And basically, what I'm talking about today is the virtual DOM. What does this mean, the virtual DOM? So, to understand the virtual DOM, you need to understand what the DOM is, the document object model. Essentially, this is just the way that essentially the data structure that the browser uses to represent the user interface. So while we see, colors and lines and boxes and stuff like that on the screen visually, the way it's represented on the hood is sort of this one giant JavaScript object with properties that define all the things that we see on the screen. Okay, and that's referred to as a document object. So basically, the actual website itself, essentially in a browser, you have two main objects you're dealing with. You have the window object, which is the window, not the particular site you're looking at. And that's where a lot of the browser APIs are nested in, like local storage and Navigator and things like that. And then you have the document, which is the actual document, the actual HTML file you're looking at the time, and the giant tree of objects that aka nodes, DOM nodes that it creates. Now, what happens is that when you start using frameworks like React, Vue, so forth, and particularly when basically what you're doing is you are using this framework to construct your UI and be able to sort of orchestrate updates for you. So instead of you having to figure out like, okay, whenever, basically anytime I change this number, let me run this function that's gonna tear down that part of the UI and rebuild it. Instead of you having to do all that programming, what you do is you just do a declarative style where you just sit there and say, this is what this component looks like. And these are the pieces of data that visual depends on. And then what basically happens is that anytime that data changes, that visual gets rebuilt. But what happens with the components, you end up with like a component tree, kind of like in the same way you have a DOM tree. And if you're not careful, you could, if you just say, hey, I want to rebuild this component whenever its state or props changes, you end up rebuilding that component and any components inside of it and so forth. And a lot of those components may not have changed at all. So you've just ended up rebuilding things that didn't need to be rebuilt. Okay, and that would lack the ability to be performant. Okay, because you'd be redoing a lot of unnecessary work. So the way React worked around this is they developed something called a virtual DOM. And essentially what the virtual DOM does, it creates a separate tree of objects called the virtual DOM. So essentially a replica of the DOM. And then what it does is that whenever you make an update, what it does, it updates the virtual DOM first. So the virtual DOM then reflects what the new state of things is. And then it compares that to the actual DOM. So it can identify only the places that absolutely need to be updated. So that way, if a particular component that might have been otherwise scheduled for an update hasn't really changed at all, it'll just avoid making that update. And that's what the virtual DOM does. It creates, again, has this sort of side structure that allows you to identify what needs actual updating. And there's two problems theoretically with this approach. One, well, that virtual DOM is just another process that's running. So essentially, like, not only are you building the UI, but every time your website's updating, it's doing this whole sort of comparison, which is there to save you time because it can prevent you from having to do a lot of unnecessary updates. But it's also, if you build your website very efficiently and technically that you architect it in a way that would avoid unnecessary updates, then you just have this kind of extra process that's running that might be slowing things down. And it's happening on like every like state update. So if your state's updating multiple times and regularly, you're kind of going through this whole process quite regularly. Okay, so this is sort of like processing weight that comes in with that. And then two, there is the actual like you have to ship this library, like these functions that and tools that actually do this whole virtual DOM thing that has to be sent to the browser. Okay, so this is like mostly part of the React DOM library. So if you see, like, if you've ever seen React, there's two libraries. There's React, and then there's React DOM. And React DOM is, I'm pretty sure, where like the virtual DOM piece of the story is kind of laid out. And that's like 130 kilobytes, which is pretty large for a library to be kind of shipping to the user. So you have these large bundles that you end up with React. So what happens is that you have frameworks like Preact. So with Preact, they tried to create a much more slimmer, simpler virtual DOM implementation that is much smaller. I think it's Preact is like 3 kilobytes, so versus 130 kilobytes. And the reason is because it leans a lot more into what the browser has built in. So leaning more into web standards means you can just use what's in the browser instead of having to ship all this extra stuff to the browser. Okay, and you're starting to see a lot of trends kind of in this direction, saying let's just use what the browser has instead of recreating the wheel at every turn. But at the end of the day, Preact, you're still using a virtual DOM, and you're still shipping that virtual DOM to the user. Another approach that people have taken is to just scrap the whole idea of a user of a DOM altogether. Instead, again, use patterns that are already built into the browser. And the way you use them is instead of having a virtual DOM, you use a compiler. So this is what Svelte and Solid.js do. So essentially, when you write your code in Solid.js, it's going to compile it to web standard code. And instead of saying like the component, the full component up runs again after renders again on each state update, the way you write your components will designate specifically what gets updated. So like the actual template gets updated again, but not necessarily all the logic in that component will run on every render. So in this case, what you're doing is you have a little bit more granularity on what's reactive, but because of that, you don't need a virtual DOM, because basically each sort of expression will depend on certain pieces of data, and only the parts that actually depend on that piece of data will react. Well, the way React works is that if that piece of data changes, the component associated will render again. Its render function will render again. And again, all the logic, whether it has changed or not, runs again. Okay, so it's a difference in approach, but it's also a difference in the way you think when you construct. Okay, so if you're someone who's written React a long time, you're kind of probably feel a lot more at home with like Preact, where you're not really changing the way you write React, but you're saving yourself a lot of space versus Solid.js or Svelte, where there is a bit of a paradigm shift. I think it's a good paradigm shift. I'm a big fan of Svelte and Solid.js, and I do think that's the direction things should go in. And I wouldn't be surprised as React takes additional steps that it, in some ways, moves in that direction. But another cool thing that came out is this thing called Million.js. So it's another sort of virtual DOM implementation. But basically, the way it works is that instead of shipping the whole virtual DOM on with every bundle, so like 3 kilobytes with Preact, you also would include a compilation step. And basically, it's designed, it's like a virtual DOM library. It's really designed for you to build a compiler, like someone would build out a compiler. There's like I think, a proof of concept one. And you could use this virtual DOM. You could use Million to build other frameworks. It doesn't have to be like React, JSX based. It could, although that's like the current implementation. So you theoretically could swap out like Vue's virtual DOM, or create something with like Svelte syntax that uses a virtual DOM that uses this Million.js virtual DOM implementations. You could do that. But that's essentially what Million's promises. So basically, the idea is that you would use a slimmer virtual DOM, and then again through the compile step, you only going to ship the parts you need to the browser. So in that case, the user the end the end bundle size could end up being less than 1 kilobyte for what you actually ship of the Million.js library. So that's even slimmer than that's like basically a third of Preact. And then at the same time, their claim is that it's actually faster as well. But that's the sort of like the story of like a virtual DOM and the virtual DOM world, and like sort of like what's going on behind the scenes of your favorite like front end framework and how it's working. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. My name is Alex Merced from alexmercedcoder.com. Have a great day and enjoy.